here's your Rapid Fire Roto Report podcast. We'll start with Super Bowl 48, and I didn't see this one coming in any way, shape, or form. Wow, the Seattle Seahawks, kudos to Pete Carroll and his squad for totally dominating, annihilating, embarrassing the Denver Broncos 43-8 in Super Bowl 48, and it wasn't even that close. They outplayed them in all facets of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They outcoached them. They out-everything them, and Pete Carroll becomes one of three coaches now to win a Super Bowl championship and an NCAA championship, joining Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson. So congratulations to Pete, Russell Wilson, and the Seattle Seahawks. They were the best team in the NFL this year. That defense, number one. It proved why it was ranked number one. Richard Sherman and the boys got it done. Congratulations to the Seahawks. The best of the best for Super Bowl Sunday. We rank them in this order, in my opinion. Number one, of course, the Seattle Seahawks for winning the game. That's at the top of the list. Number two, though, my buddy Frank Caliendo's 30 for 30 piece on Richard Sherman, the mockumentary that he did, the impressions that he did in that mockumentary, the Bill Belichick, the Chris Berman, the Ron Jaworski, the Gruden. Oh, phenomenal. The best work that Frank has ever done. That's second best to the Seattle Seahawks on Super Bowl Sunday. Then you bring in Bruno Mars for the halftime performance at number three. His performance, I knew what to expect from him, having seen him in Columbus earlier this year. I knew it was going to be high energy. It was going to be entertaining. The horn section is killer. The dance moves, the choreography, the costumes. Then you sprinkle in a little Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it was an outstanding halftime performance by Bruno Mars and a little bit from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. As far as the Super Bowl commercials, these are the ones that stood out to me. I had three of them that I liked. Number one, I thought Radio Shack did a great job in just 30 seconds with the 80s commercial, and you had Mary Lou Retton and Hulk Hogan and Alf. Ha! I kill me. Hey, Willie. I loved Elf back in the day. There's my Elf impression. I thought that commercial was one of the best. And I also loved the Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial with Bud Light and the ping pong that he was playing and the way that one was set up, as well as the Budweiser commercial with the dog and the horse at the end. So those are the best of the best for Super Bowl Sunday for me. Let's talk a little Browns. Now that Seattle season's over, after the game, we find out that Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, said, yeah, I would love to have had another opportunity to talk for the Browns. What a great job that would have been. Another slap in the face, another major mistake made by the front office of Jimmy Haslam, Joe Banner, and Mike Lombardi, not to wait for Dan Quinn to go through a second interview after the Super Bowl was over. Can't believe that they didn't have the patience to wait for the guy that they really wanted up there with Josh McDaniels and Adam Gase. And Quinn, all he wanted to do was wait till after the Super Bowl was over, and he would have interviewed, came out and said that, and the Browns didn't do that. More egg on their face as they settled for Mike Pettine. Hey, maybe Pettine turns out to be a good coach. We'll have to wait and see. I wish him luck. But again, the Browns front office, Jimmy Haslam, it's not us in the media that make you look bad. It's the front office that makes your organization look bad, and add that to the list of mistakes that the front office has made. Speaking of mistakes, the Cavaliers made a bunch of them in the drafts over the last couple of years, in my opinion, and people are saying, well, what should they do? Should they fire Mike Brown? How do they get this thing turned around? If I were Dan Gilbert, here's the thing that I would do. I would fire Chris Grant today. I wouldn't wait another day. Here's why. I don't want him making any more decisions for my basketball team going forward. The trading deadline is February 20th. It's just around the corner. I don't want Chris Grant making the decisions come February 20th for my organization. So I would fire him today, and who would I replace him with? I would go out and see if Phil Jackson wants to come in and be a consultant for the rest of this season and maybe beyond. If he says no, I go to Don Nelson. If he says no, I go to Lenny Wilkins. Well, you know, it's one of those things where I would love, you know, to come back and help rebuild, you know, the Cavaliers. You know, it was an honor to be here before as a player and as a coach. Now, as a front office guy, I would cherish the opportunity to come back. Any of those three guys, I would take their opinions, their talent evaluation over Chris Grant's right now. So if I was Dan Gilbert, that's what I would do. I'd bring somebody like that in here, get rid of Chris Grant, and then let those guys make decisions and make moves at the trading deadline of February 20th, whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Luol Deng, Deion Waiters, Anderson Varejao, Jared Jack, consider all options, because right now at 16-31 at the time of this taping, the Cavaliers are one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they're headed more towards the lottery than they are the playoffs. So I say fire Chris Grant. There's your rapid fire Roto Report podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.